You realize what you're amening, right? It's a chipper song. We like that, you know, a little tune to it, upbeat in that kind of a way, and yet it's upbeat through so much gamut of life. Did you catch that in verse 2? All my life was wrecked by sin and strife. There's some problems that we have to deal with in life. And Jesus provides a tune for that sin. He provides forgiveness for that and freedom to move forward, redemption to reclaim with him. Discord filled my heart with pain. Anyone ever lived through pain before? Physical pain, emotional pain, relational pain, pain with God. Jesus provides a tune for that too. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Verse 3, sometimes he leads through waters deep. Where's he taking us through? You ever ask that question in life? Why am I here? Why am I in this situation? Jesus in that too. Even through the deep waters, when trials fall across our way, when it feels rough and steep, he's not leaving us. His footprints are there all the way. You catch what you're amening, church? There's some good times too, right? Feasting on the riches of his grace. There's a good God behind every good aspect that we taste in life. James says it in that good book, that every good and perfect gift is from above. There are times of feasting on that grace and being reminded of that. Jesus got his fingerprints on that too. And it's all the while leading to that place he's taken us to. Soon he's coming back for me. Didn't we talk about that last week? Isn't he making all things new? Isn't there something that he's previewed us in? Jesus got his handiwork in that, and he's on that throne as well. And so we remember that through the truth of that song. I'm leading you somewhere, church, okay? We got to get up for this because it's banner raising week. Are you ready for it? The word of the year, banner number 10, will be hoisted in just a moment. And now I have to tell you, I'm getting a little pressure 10 years in all this. Like, never before in my life have I gotten so many emails, text messages, and cornered in conversation as this past week of people wanting to know, what's the word going to be? What's the word can I be? Like, even before banner raising week, we have a couple, Chris and Nancy Hannon, down in Florida. They won, if you remember, the United Methodist Women Mission Recognition of the Year just a couple months back there. And so I don't know if they think they're like privileged with this new status in the church that they should get an insider scoop, but I had a message from them this week, from down in Florida, saying, what's the word of the year? Can't we know since we're down in Florida already? And I'm sorry, Chris, if you're listening live on this there, it was more Nancy's doing for the mistake there. And I said, no, Nancy, you're down in sunny Florida while we're in single-digit Ohio. And yes, we are having banner raising week, and it'll take you 4 extra hours before you know what that word is, because it'll take some time to upload online. And so that's the treatment of Florida. This past Wednesday in small group, it didn't get any better for me. Like the lights were shined in my face, I'm pretty sure, as the whole small group is going around, what's the word? Can't we know? Aren't we the insiders? What's the word? Even at my own family breakfast table this week, my kids were cornering me for the word of the year. But lucky for you all, I take confidentiality very seriously and did not break in any of those corners, except for a few limited in leadership of this church that do know for service planning purposes what that word is. And I'm not even going to tell you their names to protect their identities from you hawks out there. And so you won't know in years to come, who knows, the word of the year in advance. But this is that week. We will unveil banner number 10, word of the year number 10 together. But before we do so, we're going to let the suspense just mount a little bit more, because I want to remind you and take you through those previous 10 years, as we often do. Whenever a banner is raised in this church, we never want to bury that banner. And what I mean by that is, just because the year has changed and we hoist another banner doesn't mean that those old banners are outdated in some way. We continue to ask and want God to form that and grow that and mature that in our life from those years past. And so as we raise a new banner, we want to be reminded of where we've been together in these 10 years' time and what we're praying that God still cultivates in us, even as he cultivates something new that we focus on for our word of the year, our passage of the year. And so our very first banner raised in this church, it's in the lobby area as you're entering through here, was the word worship, taken from the wise men to Jesus in Matthew 2 that said, we have come to worship you. Worship was selected in 2013 because that was the first year that we were together as pastor and parish. I began in July of 2012, but our first full calendar year was 2013 together. And if I have to admit, the first 6 months on the job, I don't know quite what I was expecting, and you probably don't know quite what you were expecting when you got some 25-year-old punk that's trying to preach each and every week. I get that. But one of the things that surprised me when I was first starting out in pastoral ministry was kind of the sporadic nature of our worship practices. I don't know if that was summertime. I don't know if that was just, hey, here's a new guy and let's see if he sticks around, or if that was just a trend of the church culture in general that was more sporadic in church attendance. But it surprised me that even leaders of the church, sometimes one, maybe two Sundays a month would be considered, you know, practicing the faith. And so that just surprised me. I grew up in a rural country church where you knew each and every week who was going to be there and what pew they were sitting in. And if you missed 2 weeks back to back, you were getting a yellow postcard in the mail from the preacher saying, I hope things are okay. We've just missed you the last couple. And so I wasn't quite used to the sporadic nature of church attendance. And I didn't like it. Didn't like it one bit. You can imagine that from a pastoral bias in that way, because I firmly believe that Sundays are a springboard to the faith. By all means, Sundays are not all there is to the Christian faith. 1 hour, one day of the week, there's more than that. But these Sundays together do springboard us into swimming in this pool of faith in ways that we're not even aware of completely. And so if Sunday is lacking, then chances are there's other things lacking in our growth with God. And so as a pastor entrusted with the care of your soul, I was concerned about that. And so we wanted to address together. What would it look like to be a worshipful people in the worship of the living God? We are all worshiping something in life. Some worship money. Some worship fame. Some worship Facebook following or posts or stuff like that. Like we're all worshiping something. We're all offering our life to something or someone. But what we were made as human beings to worship was our Maker. He's created us. He's wired us to worship Him. And if we're not worshiping Him, there's a lack in our life that we sense and feel even if we can't articulate. And so in 2013, we just wanted to rally around, what would it look like to be a people that remembers we were wired to worship Him, to learn the truth of Him, to be reminded through song that this place would just be a place that's filled with the presence of God in real and relevant ways in people's life. And so that's what worship was about, 2013 in mind. 2014, we went to the early church of Acts chapter 2, and we discovered the early church was serious about four things: teaching, fellowship, the breaking of bread, and prayer. That is doing life together and praying together. And that fellowship word, that number two piece, was the Greek word koinonia that had to do with a connection that the early church had with one another. Like the early church, they referred to one another as brothers and sisters, even though they weren't biologically related. Their bloodlines weren't the same, and yet they would refer to one another as brothers and sisters. Outsiders, looking in at the church, they would often say, "See how those people love one another?" And they wanted to become a part of that. That's what the Greek word koinonia, connection, fellowship, is all about. And so we want that. We want to be a place that genuinely likes one another, genuinely wants to encourage one another and support one another and see one another grow in their walk with God and be successful in the sight of God with whatever that looks like there. We want to be that kind of a community as the early church was that kind of community. So we focus on that in 2014, that koinonia, that connection. 2015, we went to a fishing trip between Jesus and Peter, and the Wiggly worshipers, they actually stood up front of the church and they hurled these at us. Good hands, Pouches. They said, "Go deep," because we wanted to be a people that didn't just grow in outwards in the shallows, but we wanted to be a people that went deep in our walk in relationship with God. In that fishing boat trip between Jesus and Peter, Jesus met Peter literally in the shallows. He was at the shoreline when Jesus stepped into his boat, and he did some work in the shallows, but his invitation to Peter was, "Don't stay in the shallows. There's an adventure out there, but you got to trust me, you got to take me at my word, and you got to put out into the deep." And you remember that conversation in Luke 5, Peter had every reason to say, "No, Jesus, that deep ain't for me. Tried that before, didn't work for me. And besides Jesus, I'm the professional fisherman. I know the deep. You're a carpenter. You stay to land, man. I'm the professional at the water. Peter had every excuse that he could have hurled at Jesus. But at the end of his excuses, he tried obedience. He did what Jesus said, even though it wasn't quite making sense to him in the moment. And what he discovered as he put out from the shallows into the deep was a catch of a lifetime. Peter had never seen so many fish before in his life. And even bigger than that, the biggest catch in the boat that day that Peter discovered wasn't the fish flopping around, it was Jesus. And this adventure of following Jesus, he actually left that boat filled with fish to follow Jesus. And it's an example of a depth that Jesus calls us and doesn't want to keep us in the shallows of life. He's got an adventure out there in the deep, but it's going to take trusting on him and taking him at his word and doing what he says to discover that adventure of what he has out waiting. Luke 5 and go deep was our words in 2015. 2016 it was.
Let's get ready to rumble!
The birth of the sound bites, right? 2016, the headline news was ISIS. And we were inundated with images in the headline news about kidnappings and beheadings. And we were hearing a lot that was done in the name of God. And we were asking ourselves the question, is Jesus a jihadist? I mean, these were headline news. People contending for the faith in their way that was inflicting a lot of suffering on a lot of people and a lot of fear in a lot of people. And we were asking ourselves the question, is that what following Jesus would look like? Jesus calls us to contend for the faith. And yet the way Jesus battles for the faith isn't introducing evil with evil, but it's overcoming evil with good. Like he endures suffering. He doesn't inflict suffering. And so there's something different about Jesus than the images and what we were seeing in the name of God in other places of the world. And we were asking ourselves that question with those headline news. What does it look like for Jesus and to contend for the faith as Jesus followers still today with that headline news in mind? 2017, it was our five-year point together. And in 5 years together, our worship attendance had already doubled from what it was 5 years prior to that. And yet, what Jesus calls his followers, his church to do, isn't go and make mega churches. It's go and make disciples. And so 5 years into it, with the numbers looking good in this place, we wanted to ask ourselves the question, what are we really to be about as a church? What is our real metric that we're after? And it's not just keeping count of people, even though there's a place for keeping those metrics. The early church does it in Acts. But it's never just about the numbers. It's about, are we growing in our walk and relationship with Jesus? Are we being disciples who help make other people disciples, bring them along, and what it means to discover this adventure of following God? And so we took Jesus' parting words to his followers, the Great Commission, the mission of his followers, which is to go and make disciples of all nations in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. 2018, we went musical. One Accord is a musical term that reminds us that God is orchestrating a grand symphony, and we are all notes and parts, the tune, to what he is producing together in that. And so One Accord is a musical word that reminds us that we've got something to contribute to the symphony of God underneath his leadership. And what is that that we are called to contribute with God's orchestrating in mind? 2019 was our seventh year together, and seven is a significant number in Scripture as it relates to Sabbath and rest. It's a compound word in the Greek, two words in the English that communicate Sabbath rest, and you failed that song at the very start, right? So we will review this maybe at year number 14 together or something, but Sabbath rest was that year. God's designed us for a rhythm in life, a rhythm that works best, like he made us. And so he knows best how this human machine works. And he designed this human machine to work, to know both work and rest. And he's woven that into even the weekday. He worked at the days of creation 6 days and rested the seventh to give us a model, an example to follow. Now grandma's advice to my wife and I when we started having kids was that when a kid has a meltdown, one of two things are wrong. Either they're tired or they're hungry. That was Grandma's advice to Julie and I that we've treasured and we've tried to apply in a variety of ways during meltdowns, that they're either tired or they're either hungry. And I wonder if that advice doesn't leave us when we age. Because some of us have some real meltdowns in life because we're simply just tired in life. And so that sets us on edge, that makes us crabby, because really we bought into work, 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 work. We forgot that our rhythm is to work and rest, and that we need both, otherwise we break down in a variety of ways. Whether we get crabby, or we get sick, or we get those headaches, or whatever it is, that our body screams at us, you were made for a rhythm, and you ain't following the design. Sabbath was a good gift by a good God to remind us of this rhythm that we were made for, of work and rest. Sometimes we flip that the other direction, and we go the other way, that we think we're to rest 6 days and work one, and there's a problem in that as well. There's a rhythm that we were designed for that's purposeful, peaceful, powerful, if applied with the Maker's handiwork behind it. 2020, we had tarps, we had heavy machinery, we had orange cones and all of this, because we were in some brick and mortar projects around the church. We were building the Life Center, we were renovating restrooms on this direction, upgrading the kitchen down in the daycare section, and so our word of the year was around those brick and mortar projects at hand, because Jesus said, I will build my church. And when he said those words, he wasn't just talking about brick and mortar, because the church owned no brick and mortar at that time. He was talking about a building that was building into lives, into people. And so as we had these big projects underway that served a purpose, we'd never wanted to lose sight of that purpose, that the prime thing behind the brick and mortar was what we're building into people. And sometimes we need spaces to help facilitate that. That's why we built the brick and mortar, but it was never about the brick and mortar at the end of the day. It's about this building, the following of Christ into those places and spaces. And we're going to hear more about that actually in 2 weeks. 1 year later, we're going to look back at the Life Center and some different ways that God has been built in that place and space in a variety of ways as people share some stories about the Life Center 1 year looking back. But build was that word. And then last year, we looked at length last week over last year's word, which was Jesus' word at the end. Revelation 21 is near the end of the book of the Bible where Jesus says, behold, I will make all things new. And then he said, write this, for these words are trustworthy and true. There's some newness that God has done on the horizon from 2021 and even still looking forward to, that we look forward to and revisited last week, like I said, as we look back at that word of the year. It all leads us up to this moment of suspense. Did I kill the balloon in the room? Or are you still excited, huh? Banner number 10, here it comes. We're not going to do it by a soundbite this year. Ready to rumble? We've been there, okay? We're not going to do it by a drum roll. We've done that before, huh? We're going to do it this year in a way that we've never done it before, by saying the Apostles' Creed together. Really, we are, okay? It ties into our word of the year in some way, and I will even clue you in. Those of you that were wondering, what is the word? What is the word? What is the word? I did drop you a clue last week. New is included with the word that we are about to unveil together, even as we're reminded of some important things of the faith, the Apostles' Creed. So say the Apostles' Creed with me. If you don't know it, it's on the back of your bulletin so that we can all recite it together. Church, what do we believe? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and he sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. We believe some important truths summarized in the creeds, explained in the scriptures. It's the truth of the faith that can transform our lives and transform so much about this world that we live in, including ushering in an eternity. And John 17 is going to tell us more about that truth together that we want to look at in a moment. So if you do have your Bibles open, John 17 is where we're going to be at in a moment. I want to give you a little context behind John 17 before we read the passage that we got our word of the year from. John 17, Jesus is in his last moments, literally the last hours of his life. He's already washed his disciples' feet in John 13. He's already had the Last Supper earlier in John as well. He is in literally his last moments in this life. And he does a series of significant things, one of which is to pray for you and for me. That's included in John chapter 17, where we get our word truth from. So that's a little context behind the passage. I want to tell you about this truth that John writes about in his gospel too, though. John has a key theme in his gospel, and one of those key themes is truth. He's mentioned the word truth 25 times in 21 chapters. The only other book in the Bible that mentions truth more often than John's gospel, any guess there what that book is? Psalms, because there's 150 chapters. And it mentions it only about 10 more times than John. So it's got 130 more chapters, and it only mentions it 10 more times in John's gospel. So pound for pound, John mentions truth most often in his gospel. And here, we're not going to look at all 25 of them, but I want to show you some of what John has been building on this theme of truth as it's going to apply to our passage that we're going to look at in a moment. And so John, waste no time. John chapter 1, he's already dropping the truth label as his first reference in John 1, 14. He says this, "The Word became flesh." The Word, referring to Jesus, became flesh and he dwelt among us. He was full of grace and, say it with me, truth. We've beheld his glory, glory of the only Son of the Father. Yet again, he's going to drop it in a conversation with someone at a well. John 4, Jesus says, "The hour is coming and now is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for such the Father seeks to worship him." There's a connection between worship and truth, something we're building off of with this in mind. Yet again, in John 8, Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, he said, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples." A connection between disciples, making disciples in truth. "You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Connection between disciples, connection between his word, and a connection between being transformed. Like, the truth can set us free in some ways. This is a good word to know, because in some ways, it's a freeing word for us. Yet again, in John 14, Jesus said to them, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." In some ways, truth is personified in Jesus. Yet again, in John chapter 16, when the Spirit of truth comes, now he's referring to the Holy Spirit as a dispenser of truth. "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all the truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you." A connection between the ministry of Jesus and the ministry of the Holy Spirit in dispensing truth. Yet again, in John chapter 18, the last reference that we'll look at, Jesus is talking with Pontius Pilate, a political figure, when he says this, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingship were of this world, my servants would fight that I might not be handed over to the Jews. But my kingship is not from the world." Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "I say to you, I am a king. You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I've come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." And Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" A question that we are going to explore a lot in 2022 together. What is truth? How do we know we have truth? What would the impact of truth be on our life if we discovered truth? Like, we are going to explore Pilate's question in full detail about identifying truth and living in that truth and what truth does to us as we go through 2022 together. But Pilate asks a fitting question there. I want to pick up where our Word of the Year passage is from in John 17, just the chapter before this, as Jesus is going to expound on truth in this passage together. If you could shout out the page number that John 17 is on, that would be helpful. And we will walk through it together then. Thank you, Joyce. 941, John chapter 17. We're going to pick up in verse number 1. And I'm not going to pause like sometimes we do as we read it through. We're just going to take the big gulp of it, go in a different direction today. But we will swing back through at various times through the year. And so let's just hear what God's word says from our theme verse, from our theme word in 2022. It says this in God's word. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that the Son may glorify thee. Since thou hast given him power over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom thou hast given him, and this is eternal life, that they know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I glorified thee on earth, having accomplished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, Father, glorify thou me in thy presence with the glory which I had with thee before the world was made. I've manifested thy name to the men whom thou gavest me from the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them to me, and they have kept thy word. Now they know everything that thou hast given me is from thee, for I have given them the words which thou hast givest me, and they've received them, and know in truth that I came from thee, and they've believed that thou didst send me. I'm praying for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those whom thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but they are in the world, and I'm coming to thee. Holy Father, keep them in thy name, which thou hast given me, and that they may be one even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in thy name, which thou hast given me. I've guarded them, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I'm coming to thee. And these things I speak in the world, that they may have joy fulfilled in themselves. I've given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not pray that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. As thou didst send me into the world, so I have sent them into the world, and for their sake I consecrate myself, that they also may be consecrated in truth. It's the word of God, and it's the word of God that we are going to be exploring further with 2022 together. Just say with me the theme verse, though, in verse number 17, if you'd backtrack just a moment. Let's just say that together, that passage where we've got our word from, chapter 17, verse 17. Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify is one of those church's words. It actually means holiness. It's this realization that we are broken people, sinners, separated from a holy God, and yet God is in the business of mending the brokenness, making holy that which is sinful, sanctifying sinners. And so that's where this word's coming from. Sanctify them in thy word. There's a connection between his truth and this sanctifying work. Thy word is truth. A connection between God's word and teaching us truth in life. So we will explore that more and more and more in 2022 together. Just want to say a few words with truth in mind and what I think it might look played out with 2022 in mind together and why we selected truth for this year of 2022. And so I'll start with why we selected it. I don't know about you, but I am finding it increasingly harder to pin down what is truth sometimes. Are you finding that? I'm learning some things. That truth can sometimes be hard to find. We live in a day and age where information is everywhere. Maybe perhaps unlike ever before, at the click of a button or a little Google search, there's tons of information out there. And yet what I'm finding, I don't know if you've discovered this, that not everything on the internet is true. Have you found that too? Like, I'm discovering that not everything out there is necessarily true. Just because it has a web page, just because it's in black and white, doesn't mean that it's boasting truth. Data can be doctored. Photos can be photoshopped. It can be very difficult in 2022 to know what is truth and what is not. Just this past week, I was signing out of my email account, Hotmail, and it sends me to a news feed, and I saw in that news feed the words misinformation being hurled across political lines and both sides claiming the other from the other. And we're left sorting out which side is the truth. What is really telling truth in these arrangements? Just from another sector, not political sector, but the sports sector there, I was watching some football games two Saturdays ago with my family. It's Saturday afternoon, and on the bottom of the screen of a Saturday afternoon football game, I saw the initials MNF, which football fans know that stands for Monday Night Football. We're watching, I'm not thinking anything of it, and they do these transition slides from the game to the commercial time, and out pops on this transition slide, Monday Night Football. I said to my kids right away, I said, somebody made a mistake. It kept happening over and over and over again to the point where I pushed the guide button on the remote to see, are we watching a taped game or not? Because we don't got that feature. And so I was thinking they were just showing us a taped game, and it was not. I discovered this week, after reading an article that says ESPN shows that you can spin ratings whatever way you want. What ESPN was doing was they were playing a football game through the NFL on Saturday night or Saturday afternoon, but they called it the Saturday afternoon edition of Monday Night Football so that they could count those that were watching on Saturday night in their Monday Night Football TV ratings. And so Saturday afternoon football put down by Monday night was a spin for TV ratings. Here's the truth, church. Saturday afternoon is not Monday night, okay? They're two different times and they're two different days. And yet there's a culture of spin, of playing with the data to serve your purposes that leaves us all scratching our heads. What is truth? And how do we discover truth in the year of 2022 together? That's a question Christians need to explore. Because we follow a gospel that proclaims truth. Truth that's timeless in nature, truth that can transform you, not just transform words on a page, truth that, yes, has data behind it, but even beyond data has a divine being behind it who needs encountering. And so, Christian, we need to know what truth is, what real truth is, and what printed truth is, and how we distinguish what is the calling card of our life and what is just some piece to be spun or photoshopped for the current fad or the setting. You hear me, church? We need to know what truth is. And so how do we discover what truth is in the year 2022? I just want to share a few ways that we're going to go about digging for truth with 2022 in mind. Unlocking truth in 2022, and the first of those has already begun. There's over 40 of us that are encountering the word as it relates to truth in a cover-to-cover format. Now, I've shared many a times before, there's many ways to study God's word. Cover-to-cover is not the only way to do it. We need to be in the book. There's many different ways to be in the book. But I bring this up just to share that there are some that are trying to read from Genesis to Revelation and about half the class for the very first time in their life doing this. And so as a church family, whether we're in the class or not, we need to be praying for that group. That book is deep. That book can be confusing. That book takes discipline. That book takes work. That book takes so much of this to discover the transformative truth that book points to. And so as just people, brothers and sisters of faith, we can be praying for others with not even necessarily knowing their names, but as they journey through this format of cover to cover with that year-long Bible study. So that one's already underway. Here's some that are going to be going down in the days and weeks to come. Number two, we're going to be reading the Gospel of John on Sundays starting in February so that we read all 21 chapters of the Gospel of John by the end of 2022 together. And I shared with you before, Gospel of John, pound for pound, it's the book that mentions truth most often. 25 references in 21 chapters. And so we're going to read all of that, word by word, phrase by phrase, to see what John is trying to teach us about truth through his gospel story. Going to need some help with you from this. In the end of your pew, that tiniest insert, Or if you don't have one, if it was taken by the first service, there's some additional ones that'll be in the office or on the podium in days and weeks to come. But tiny insert. Just one thing on it that says, I would be willing to read scripture publicly as a part of a church service. And so if you like to read and don't mind the public setting, I need some help from you in this. Put your name, put your contact information, and you will help lead us in the reading of God's word. I'm not going to make you preach on it, okay? Just a simple reading that gets us reflecting on what God's word says about truth together. If you're okay with that, fill that out, drop it in the offering plate, or turn it into the church office at some point this week, and we would be appreciative of that. I will not call you cold turkey, okay? It's not going to be, Dick Campbell, come on up here this Sunday. Read for us all of John 1 through 7. No. I'm going to give you some days to practice. That's why I need your contact information and see if you're willing and available for that week and that you can practice up that week for that reading. But this insert's going to go a long way and help us reading through the Gospel of John together in our public worship settings on Sunday there. So fill that out if you don't mind. Drop it in the offering plate as you exit the service today. Number three, if you can pull out another yellow insert, this one a little bit bigger, of the sermon series in 2022, at times, not every time, but at times, our sermon series will dance around our word of the year. And this year, we've got some sermons that are dancing around the word of the year in some way, shape, form as well. We're already almost through with the January sermon series at the top of the page. But our first major series that we're going to be entering into in February is on suffering. I warned you about this last year. We had a series last year entitled, Am I Ready to Die? It was really uplifting. You loved it in that kind of way. But we spent over a month entitled, Am I Ready to Die? And I shared with you at the end of that series, I had the nudge. I wanted to preach a series on suffering. But I thought it might be too much too soon. We just dealt with death, and now we're going to deal with suffering. And so I said, it's coming. It just won't be now. And so this is the year it's coming. It's going to be 2022 that we're going to explore the topic of suffering. Life hurts at times. And we follow a Savior that went through the cross, physical pain, relational pain, betrayed by a best buddy to get there, right? Spiritual pain. He's praying on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Like we follow that being who realizes that life is not always pick and posies and just prancing around. Life hurts. It's tough at times. And so how do we as a Christian deal with those seasons of suffering? We need to expect it and we need to know how to react to it because it's coming. It comes. And so how do we respond to that through a framework of faith? We're going to learn that in February together as we explore that topic. It's a true topic, but a hard topic that we're going to be covering. March and April, it's going to be the Lenten season. We're going to be preparing for the cross. We're going to be preparing for Easter. And so we're going to have some guests come in that are like 2,000 years old and just teach us their perspective about what they encountered of Jesus leading up to the cross in those days. And so some characters will be coming us in to teach us about the cross and Christ and how that ties in together. In May, that's the series that's up in the air. I don't know if it's going to happen now or if it's going to happen later. But we have envisioned a series, a parenting-focused kind of series about how do we help raise our kids in godly frameworks and what does discipline look like and how do I just survive the long days or the short years of parenting that's associated. We may cover that. Also tied in with, we're a church with a lot of young kids. So even if we don't have young kids in the household, what is God calling me to do as a church, grandparent, or father and mother in this church setting? We may cover that subject, or we may cover a subject that's more in line with truth about God's word. Like, 66 books are in the Bible. Why do we believe that there's tons of good books, but that this is the God book? Like, how did we get the Bible? What is the Bible saying to us? And how do I apply this to my life? We may do a series on the Bible there instead. So still kind of weighing that out. I might be swayed on that. Can't be swayed to give you the word of the year in advance. But I might be swayed in sermons if there is a nudge one way or the other with that. June, July, we're going to do that fun series. We do one each and every calendar year that's a somewhat off the walls there, but it gets us to the gospel on a behind-the-scenes way. And the June-July series is that kind of one. It's going to be called My Life, the Musical, and we're going to look at famous musicals, famous songs from famous musicals, and give what does that song teach us about scriptural truth. So we're talking about Annie. I'm going to teach you my favorite musical, Newsies. My daughter says Wizard of Oz counts as a musical there, so we might cover the Wizard of Oz there. My wife swang me with The Greatest Showman and all this. And so we're going to talk those musicals, giving a song from those musicals, and what this teaches us about remember word through the song in this musical. That'll be our summertime together. And then August, November, that's our character study that we usually do. Last year we studied the life of Paul. We've done Peter. We've done Moses. We've done Abraham. This year we're going to do a series of characters found in the book of Judges. I had a conversation before we put this out that someone was in the book of Judges and they said, Judges, woo! I said, yeah, Judges. We're going to be preaching on all fall there because they were saying woo because there's some things happening in the book of Judges that just leaves your head scratching. And there's this repeat storyline in the book of Judges that everyone does as they see fit in their own eyes. That's a key theme in the book of Judges. Everyone does as they see fit in their own eyes. It's a description of what life is like when truth is relative. When your truth is your truth, but my truth might be different than your truth, and all that dialogue, the book of Judges covers that. And what impact that has on the individual, what impact that has on societies, and how do you navigate as a person of faith when that is the storyline at culture? That's not a new storyline in 2022, is it? They've been dealing with it in the days of the Bible. And so we're going to be unpacking that study with truth in mind and how to navigate that in confusing times with that in mind. I want you to take this home, but it's not for you. Does that make any sense? Take this home, but it's not for you. I want you to pray and to think of someone to give this to. Maybe you know someone that does all sorts of plays at the BSA. And maybe this is a little seed of faith that you can plant there where, hey, we got this crazy preacher. He's not musical at all, but he's doing a whole sermon series on musicals. This should be interesting. You want to come to church with me this summer? Or whatever it is. You can plant this as a seed of faith. Maybe you got a coworker that's going through a really tough grind in life. Suffering. They're living it. And they're asking you the questions. You don't quite know the responses. And you say, I really don't know, but I do know we're going to be talking about it at church. And so maybe you'd like to come with me. Just sit next to me on one of those Sundays as we're talking about suffering together. You catch what I mean now? I want you to take this home, but I don't want you to have this. We got others that you can have that you can pick up in the church office or in weeks to come. You take this one home, you think about someone to give this to, and you invite them to come to church with you as this might be a seed of faith that God grows something in their life. So this is what we're going to be about 2022, dancing around the subject of truth. I want you to take that home with you. Last but not least, another thing of truth that takes place is truth is connected to God's word. Thy word is truth. And there's some things that we need to do around here that might help us discover the truth of God's word better. I'm referring to the pew Bibles. We've talked about this at Ad Council meetings prior to this. This might be a reality in 2022 together, and that is that our pew Bibles are in need of updating. I don't know if any of you, like this week when I was looking at our passage, John 17, and reading it through for the first time, there's a lot of these and thous, hasts and givest that were throwing me off in so many different directions. And I don't know if you were being thrown off as I'm reading that this morning. Truth is timeless, but language changes at times. And so Bible translators are always trying to walk that line because the truth God's word communicates is timeless. But we don't speak in the these and the thous and the has and the givest anymore, right? For shizzle? Like somewhere in between that, right? We got to go somewhere between the these and the thous and the for shizzle. But there are translations that help us understand God's truth in a way that we do talk more currently. And so we've entertained that discussion. You might be seeing it happen that the pew Bibles are exchanged out for other Bibles. They're about $10 a pew Bible, and we would need around 130 of them. And so you may be hearing more in days and weeks to come about making that a reality in this space. The youth group, the youth Bibles. We got about 12 youth group Bibles that are the New Living Translation, a helpful reader-friendly translation, and we have more than 12 youth that come up on youth group there. Bake more desserts than 12, okay? That's what I'm trying to tell you in all this. But we also need to bake more Bibles so that we don't have 20 kids hovering over each other's shoulder to try to read through a passage and then giving one another's wet willies and not paying attention to the word. You catching what I'm going through with youth group in mind? So pew Bibles, youth Bibles, those are our need with truth in mind and unlocking truth to the next generation. We want to be about truth. 2022 is a year. It's difficult to discern what truth is and what's fact, what's fiction and all that. But it's our discovery as people of faith that we need to hunger and thirst for the truth of God to be revealed in our midst. And that's what we want to be about together. I'm going to close us with a word of prayer. And so I'm going to invite you to stand as you're able. And let's just close the service in this way with a word of prayer. Lord, I don't think there's ever a non-interesting year. When you've given us a day and when you've given us a breath, you've given it to us for a reason. And we thank you for that. Even as we don't always know the reason or what lies ahead in that. And I always feel that way, Lord, whenever we unveil a new word of the year. There's some things that we think and want you to work ways through us, to us, in us, as a result of that word. But there's also the great unknown of what we're getting ourselves into as well. We're just asking, with hands in the air, we're just asking that you would form truth in us, Lord. You've given us something that is to discern and decipher in the data of today. And yet, Lord, you've given us something that is timeless, something that is transformative, something that is backed not by data, but a divine being. Lord, help us to discover that truth that can transform us and make such an impact as you have done. We pray that together as we enter into this year together at Bellevue First United Methodist Church. We pray this all in the name of Jesus. And his people said, amen. Amen. You are dismissed. Go following Jesus until we meet again.